I'll go ahead and call us to order this morning in our regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, May 6th, 2014. If the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just like Rotor, we can fine you for being late.
Yeah, you fine me. We got to change our clocks back there, too. I was talking to Alyssa and thought I had time.
Next is public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. And not see anybody moving towards the mic. Consideration of minutes from April 29th.
So move.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any additions or corrections? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot, aye. The minutes have been approved. Consideration of personnel actions. We need to add a classification or a, what was it, Shelley? Remind me. Yeah, out of classification adjustment for Jeff Zimmerman from Secondary Roads. And then everything else is good to go.
Move approval of personnel action with noted changes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot, aye. The personnel actions have been approved. Consideration of claims. Don't fight over it, guys.
Well, it's under $1 million. Move approval.
I'll second it. It's where we end up at the end of every fiscal year.
Hey, got to pay the bills.
That's true.
We have a motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot, aye. The claims have been approved. Under consent agenda, we need to add utility permit 1443.
I'll move approval with the noted change.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot, aye. Consent agenda has been approved. That takes us down to public hearing items. First consideration of Chapter 32 Road Identification and Address Numbering System of the Story County Code of Ordinance. Charlie, good morning.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, hey, hey.
How are you guys doing?
Wonderful, wonderful.
I'm assuming you got the memo I typed up, so I'm not going to really go over too much, but this is mainly a change that is just going to kind of clarify what our current practices have been for the last few years. We did away with that contractor clause in Chapter 32 a few years ago, and we had secondary roads kind of start installing all the markers inside subdivisions. It's been about 3 years since we've been doing that, and with talking with Darren on that, that's been working, and he's comfortable continuing to do it. So the main change is we're just taking all references to the approved contractor out of the ordinance, at the same time clarifying how we deal with existing driveways that are in place, and lastly with the address points in the GIS system. So any questions on any of the changes? Pretty simple. So
okay, this is a public hearing, so I will open the public hearing at 10:05. If anybody has any comments they'd like to make, this would be the time for those to be made. Not seeing any movement, I'll close the public hearing.
And I would move approval of Ordinance 229 and set second consideration for May 13th.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot, aye. The change has been adopted. That takes us to agency reports. Mid-Iowa Community Action. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi. I think we'll kind of come up in waves. There's about three sections to our report. So I'll start off with a little introduction, and then we'll move to Gloria Simons, our health director, and then we'll hear from Helen Banker, who has been our Story County director, who has an announcement that she'll make during her presentation. So when I looked at the agency-wide activities of the...
Identify who you are.
Oh, who I am. I am Arlene McAtee.
Yeah, since this is audio taped and people do listen to it.
I am Arlene McAtee, and I am the executive director of Mid-Iowa Community Action.
All right.
There we go. Probably the biggest activity that Mike is engaged in as an organization this year is that it's our strategic planning year. And we've been engaged in that since October in a variety of mechanisms. And I did bring for you an example of the sort of information we're taking into consideration as we put together our next three-year plan. And you will see a very colorful chart, large chart, I think, that you have at your location. This is a reflection of surveys that we did. We did over 660 surveys of individuals that we serve, over 200 surveys of community stakeholders, and then almost every one of our staff participated. And we looked at a wide range of issues that affect families with low incomes. And you can see the nature of those issues along the bottom of this chart. And for each of those issues, then, the little orange column means that it was identified by families as an issue that one of their members had faced. And then the blue column identifies what percent of the families responding to the survey felt that this was a very serious issue for them. And then you'll see a green column for each of the issues, and that's how many of the MICA staff felt that it was a very serious issue for the families that they serve. And then the last, the red, is how many of the community stakeholders thought it was a very serious issue for members of their community. And you can see that a quick summary of what we found through these hundreds of surveys was that the issues that were experienced most frequently by the families we served were, number one, heating and electrical costs. This is probably influenced by the fact that this survey was conducted last fall, and we were, of course, taking applications for people who needed assistance with their heating bills. So that may have increased it, but we all know what happened with propane prices and the situation many families faced last year. So the number one issue that families had actually personally experienced was heating and electrical costs. The second highest was earning a living wage, which we were a little surprised that families would identify that as high as they did, but clearly that's the connection that's going on here. And then the third highest that was experienced by the families we surveyed was obtaining food. And I should point out that these were families in Hardin, Marshall, Story, Tama, and Poweshiek counties. When we asked the families what they thought were most serious, in order, the single most serious problem that they faced was health insurance. And then there were three that were very close together, sort of in a tie for the second highest, most serious issue they faced. Earning a living wage, yet again, of course. And then health care costs and dental care costs. Again, since this survey was conducted in late fall and early winter, a lot of them probably had not engaged in the new Affordable Care Act activities that were available to them, but it does indicate that for the families we serve, health care is a major, major concern, one of the most serious concerns they face. We have a lot of other data that we're working on and looking at as we go through this process. All of our departments, every single member of our staff are engaged in this process, which will culminate with our board of directors looking at recommendations from the staff at meetings in July and August. So as you look at this data and you think about your community, Wayne does sit on our board, so we do have Supervisor Clinton available to you to bring forward any of the concerns that Story County might have that they would like to see reflected in our strategic plan for the next 3 years. So that's sort of the big business that we've been up to as an organization. And at this time, are there any questions?
Yeah, I numbers represented. So how many families were surveyed?
Well, there were over 660 people who completed surveys on behalf of their families, and I can't exactly say, but
that gives me an idea. And then staff, how many staff members completed surveys?
We had 156 out of our 185 staff complete them.
Okay, and how many stakeholders did you
get? It was over 220.
Perfect, thank you.
And it was a really good mix of governmental officials. You all may have even seen the survey, as well as business people, education, folks from church and civic organizations and so forth.
And any plans for any kind of follow-up? So, for example, you mentioned the health care. I would be really, really interested as the Affordable Care Act continues implementation to see if we recognize any change, because to me, that's the proof in the pudding right there. It actually seems to me you took this survey at exactly the right time if we were going to try to see what kind of impact any of that had. Is there any plans to follow up? Is there a way that a group or a couple groups could get together and say, specifically on this one issue, we'd like to follow up with everybody who responded to this survey?
Well, we did not have a way to identify the particular individuals who responded.
Okay.
It was anonymous, so we don't know. We wouldn't be able to, but we can assume that we have a fairly similar population over time, because we do have demographics that I don't have here that talk about who we saw. And we saw people who pretty much reflect the community that we normally serve. So ethnicity, income, age. So we could do another survey and compare the demographics and make sure we were looking at, you know, apples to apples, say next fall, and see where people stand on some of these most serious issues.
And that's what I would be interested in.
Yeah, and I think that's where he's probably getting to more than anything.
A streamlined survey that identified kind of the hot topics here and said, okay, let's put forth some resources to really track this and see if we're having an impact, because at the end of the day, You know, putting resources, I look at transportation as one of them. You know, I clearly healthcare is another one. Putting resources toward it, we want to have an impact in what we're doing. And if we've got a good baseline, Wayne, that we can draw from, it just makes sense that maybe we would want to track that over the longer term and see if we're having impact.
Well, and another thing, why this information I think would be extremely helpful is, we rely so much on grant dollars from the Department of Health and Human Services and appropriations and other things as well as state contracts and so forth. And so when you have that type of empirical evidence that you could point to, looking at the success of the people that you serve and how you have improved their quality of life, I think it speaks volumes. And this has been one of the outstanding hallmarks already. When you look at this, historically, this is nothing new for MICA. I mean, they have become the pillars as a community service agency throughout our state and especially in our region for years. And so they're always looking at innovative ways that we could understand more about how we can do a better job. And I really like your suggestion, and hopefully that Arlene could take this back to staff and the board, and we could take a look at how we could do that next year.
Hey, I'd just like to know if there's a mechanism, and if there is, what it would cost, and how we would fund something like that. The other question I had is, okay, so we didn't identify the people that filled out the surveys. Are we aware of what percentage came from Story County, or do we really have to just extrapolate for the whole service area?
But we do know what percentage came from Story County, because we monitored by county to make sure that each county's sample represented the typical set of families that we would see and against the census data as well, so that we didn't get out of whack with any particular group.
And is there a way to break down those results where we could see those results?
No, I believe that there is. We have not at this point, because we've been looking, everybody's been planning at a sort of, you know, more gestalt level, the big level, but we certainly could pull that together. I'll double check on that. I can certainly communicate with Wayne on what we have.
And for the three of us, while I'm highly interested and concerned about what happens in the whole service area, if we were ever going to allocate any dollars toward furthering something like this, it would need to be a little more specific, probably to just Story County, for whatever portion we were involved in.
And the other thing will be, you know, as I said, Wayne will be participating in strategic planning discussions we will be having during the summer. And at that point in time, every department's going to present, and our health department will as well, very specific results that they intend to achieve over this time and ways to measure both benchmark data, baseline data, and then where we go with that so that we can provide very strategic, and we'll provide information for you on where we go with that, and then we'll look at follow-up surveys on these issues.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
So then I think I'll just turn it over to Gloria, who is our Health Services Director for MICA.
Hi, Gloria.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I'm Gloria Simons, the Health Services Director at MICA, and I have a couple of things. We have some new brochures that I'll leave with you that cover maternal and child health, but also the Story County Dental Clinic, which Story County funds. I don't know if you were aware that our dentist had resigned, and we were on a search for a new dentist, and we are thrilled to announce that Dr. Walker has accepted the position as clinic director. He will begin June 2nd. However, he has been substituting and filling in during this time where we didn't have a dentist identified. In fact, he's there this morning. He comes to us with 17 years of experience. A large portion of that is with the corrections system. And having had the opportunity to work with us a week before he interviewed for the position, he knows exactly how the clinic operates and got a chance to work with the people we see. And several of them came at the end of their appointment to ask if they could please have Dr. Walker permanently. So I think we have the right man for the job, and we look forward to him starting June 2nd. As you know, Story County contributes through the asset process, and all of our asset funds were expended by April. And with the asset funds, we were able to provide 10 children with restorative treatment and 80 fluoride varnishes, and served many people at the Story County Dental Clinic. I would just like to share a story with you. We've all had toothaches. The pain can be unbearable. Well, with actual Story County dollars, we were able to serve a three-year-old child that had 11 cavities and was complaining of tooth pain. So we were able to do the restorative treatment necessary. But in addition to that, we were able to provide oral hygiene instruction and nutrition education so that hopefully you can prevent future cavities. So we want to thank you for that, and hopefully we'll continue to do preventative care.
If I could just step in, you say that all Story County funds were expended by April.
Well, that's all asset funds.
All the asset right. funds. All the
Story County funds were expended much before that, but all the asset funds have been expended. The conversation has gone to the Affordable Care Act and what impact that has had. And as of May 1st, Iowa Health and Wellness Dental Services began. It's off to a little bumpy start. The Delta Dental had 600 phone calls the first day, so they were very, very busy. And people are getting familiar with the program the way it is currently designed. It is a tiered system, so you come in at the first tier, which is just doing preventative care. They do emergency care. They started emergency care several months ago, so you can do emergency care. But in order to move up to some restorative care like dentures and bridges, you have to have a history of having six-month checkups. So it will be a year before they pay for any kind of restorative bridges, crowns, those sorts of things. There is the intent that people that were covered under Medicaid will, and if they have been doing six-month checkups, that they will move up to the second tier. And we're working through that. So we're really excited. We got many, many calls as of January 1, although dental coverage did not start January 1, but we had many calls because people have waited for dental coverage for a long time. And we've had the opportunity to work with people that really needed some emergency care. So we've been very glad that Iowa Health and Wellness is in place, and we look forward to working with them as the program unfolds. So we're scheduling new patients through Iowa Health and Wellness and continue to work with Medicaid, and thank you for your support that enables us to serve those people that don't fit any of that criteria. Do you have any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to put in a thank you to Story County in general. When Iowa Health and Wellness came in, it said that it was supposed to be providing emergency care right away and for dental services. And people, of course, showed up at our door immediately thinking, I've signed up, I'm in, I can finally get that dental care for this chronic issue I have. But when we called, they weren't set up yet to do that, even though by code they were supposed to be. So Gloria contacted Lisa Heddens and Beth Wessel-Crichel, and it was largely because of efforts by the Story County delegation that those emergency services were made available as they had been promised to the people who were signing up for that program. So we owe a lot to Story County about all people in Iowa who are in that program being able to access emergency care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Questions before I turn it over to Helen?
Morning.
Good morning. I'm Helen Benker, and I am currently the Story County Director, but I will soon, at the end of this week, be moving to another position at the central office. I'm going to be the Human Resources Systems Specialist. It's a new position, so I'll be involved in the interview process with candidates across all programs, and I'll also be helping with orientation and training.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Sunny Thompson is going to be the new county director starting Friday, and she has been with us, how long? A couple years?
18 months.
She worked as a family development specialist with our early childhood programs and is going to do a fabulous job, as knows the agency well, knows the community well, and I'm really pleased that we were able to find somebody internally. It's a great fit. So.
Well, we're excited that you're with us, but we're going to have to do something about that coat. So.
I thought about that this morning as I was driving here.
And I did. You do have some handouts from me. One is just a listing. The buff colored paper has a listing of the programs that are available in Story County. Not a lot has changed. And then the other has some data from October 1st through April 30th. And one of the things I'd really kind of like to talk about in conjunction with what Arlene was saying about the strategic planning is I've been able, there's an emerging leaders group within the agency, and we've been involved in the strategic planning process. And one of the things that we did were focus groups with families, and we did two in Story County. And I was really concerned first that we wouldn't get enough people to come because it's not always easy, and then that if they would come, would they talk? And boy, did they talk. It was great. It was one of the best things I've seen since I've been at the agency. And there was one person at the focus group who's also involved in one of our family development programs, which used to be Asset Family Development, but we've recently changed the name to Steps for Success because we are receiving asset funding, but we also receive other funding for that program, so we kind of wanted to change it. And we had struggled with this family development program when I first started. It's probably been close to 2 years ago. But last year on May 1st, we hired a young woman who has done a fabulous job with the program. From May 1st to the end of May, she had a full caseload of 20 by the end of the month. The nice thing about this program is she's able to work with individuals, couples without children, and families as well. And that's something that's quite unusual. Most programs are geared towards families or an individual, but she's able to work with all of those. And a number of the people that she works with, she does work with some single individuals. And one that I'd kind of like to give you a little information on is, we'll call him Dennis. Dennis had a major accident prior to enrolling in the program, so he was unable to work. He didn't have any health insurance at the time, and he'd had several surgeries over 4 to 6 weeks, and as a result of the surgeries, he had a large amount of medical debt. He'd applied for disability several times and been denied repeatedly, which isn't unusual for the families that we work with, the individuals, and he owed back rent and utilities. He happened to live in a mobile home park, and the owner of the park actually let him go for nearly a year without paying lot rent. So he was lucky in that way. He didn't have a vehicle, so he didn't have access to services readily. He started working with Melissa, the family development specialist, and she connected him with a lot of resources in the area, helped him set up a budget billing for his utilities, which at least evened those out. He got help from different community resources for rent and utilities, including our LIHEAP program. And the good thing is he enrolled in the new Iowa Wellness Health and Wellness Program that they were talking about. He had not had new eyeglasses for 3 years. In fact, when he came to the focus group, he was wearing safety glasses. That's what he used for eyeglasses because he didn't have the money to be able to get those. He did apply for disability again, and he was finally approved. So even though he's still below 100% of poverty, he is able to pay his bills. He paid back bills. When you get disability, it goes back to the time you were disabled. So he had a large back amount that he was paid for. He put a lot of that in the bank, and he's saving it. He's looking for a vehicle, but he's really taking his time, which is not always what happens when people get a large amount of money. And Melissa has worked with him very closely. He's starting a savings account, like I said, and getting the eyeglasses. So really we're seeing from someone who didn't have insurance at all to someone with the new Iowa Health and Wellness Program. So it really is going to be an effect on many of the families we serve, and I think it'll be interesting to follow up with that like you were talking about. Did you have any questions about any of this?
No, it's just another example of how dedicated our staff is in terms of reaching out and helping people get a helping hand when they are struggling to make ends meet. And, you know, I've seen that over my many years serving on the board. And but I don't sometimes know if the general public is aware of all the time and effort that it takes and the impact that you guys have on the lives of the people you serve. And I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of the board, and I'm sure I speak for the supervisors in all the counties that you serve as well. Your presence is very much needed, and we know that the clients that you serve are so much better off because they have a place to turn to, a voice to hear their concerns, and then you help them devise a plan to move forward, and I think that's really outstanding.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I really think so much of Melissa, the family development specialist. She came in my office a couple weeks ago, and she's getting married. She's moving 50 miles north of Iowa Falls because her husband got a new job, and she came in and said, well, I still have I want to come. I want to continue to commute. Will that work? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Yes, it'll work. So yeah. It's so nice to see, and, Sunny is going to be great. She's very dedicated, and I appreciate that because I think we work really hard, and it's so good to see when someone like this person is able to come full circle. Thank you.
Well, yeah, before you get away, I want to echo what Wayne said, how appreciative you are. But I also want to use this opportunity as maybe a little bit of an exit interview and give you a chance. I'd like some feedback for this board on how we're doing here in Story County through the asset process at funding things, specifically the Story County Board. Over the last 3 years, we've worked hard to increase the funding every year that we allocate toward asset. We're actually up now to where we're more in line with United Way and Ames and what they're doing. But are there huge holes? I'd like you to score us out. What do we need to be doing as you go to your new position?
Well, and I think, as I said, we've changed the name of that particular family development program because we do get funding. And we have her funded for 75%, and we have to find funding from other sources for her to do the other percent. She's going to be working with Early Head Start. So I think that would be helpful because for a while we did struggle to get that going, but now I think we have a really good system in place and we're getting a lot of referrals. So I think additional funds there is always helpful. Food pantry is another place where we get funding. And again, with the increasing cost of food, we get a lot of donations, but when we have to purchase, then we need the other assistance for that. So I think, we appreciate any assistance that we can get, and we understand right now that, everybody is struggling. All the agencies that are helping people are struggling. So any assistance you can provide would be helpful.
Thank you.
Arlene, maybe you can talk a little bit about how the grant process works, like with a lot of the programs that we have. We noticed that at our board meetings, we're constantly, you know, we get grants from like United Way for different programs. They have to submit a request for the types of services and the approximate cost. And a lot of times we don't get 100% of what we ask for. In some cases we do, and in some cases it's a little bit less, but maybe you could just explain a little bit about how that process goes about.
Well, first of all, I want to say that the asset board was very generous with us in the last year because we did ask for a major increase to the dental clinic, which we're trying to get enough of a diverse base of funding that it can sustain itself over time. And we do think with the dentists we have coming in that they'll be able to generate more income through production. And then with the community donations and the asset support that this clinic should be able to serve the community as long as it's needed. That increase was greatly, greatly appreciated. I think Helen's pointed out that, of course, we always have needs in the emergency food and family development arena. And I will say this. In the past, the family development funding was kind of erratic. Sometimes we would get what we requested, sometimes we didn't, but that seems to have leveled out, and that's very helpful to us. Anytime we can kind of count on the funding being sustained because our efforts have earned that funding, it's helpful to us for our planning and staffing. But always we know that everything we do needs a diverse base of funding, and we have over 100 funding sources at MICA, public, private, and individual donations that we work with all the state departments of government as well as other local entities as well as direct federal funding. And so we invest a lot of time and effort in finding those resources, but having a local basis of support helps us with all of those efforts because we can show that the local community sees these as needs and these are the things that they are supporting and they need help in that support. So I don't know if I answered your question, Wayne, but we do thank you. We do feel that we are that the needs that we're trying to meet in our community have been recognized by ASSET.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That takes us down to liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne.
Just met with Ron Christensen yesterday morning, had a brief meeting, just kind of an update on where things were and how things were going. He just reported a little bit on his staff meeting that he had with staff. And by and large, he thought it was a very positive meeting. There's obviously still some anxiety among staff, which is understandable, and he's constantly looking at ways that he can help alleviate some of those. I shared some things with Alyssa, and she's going to get back in touch with him a little bit on just a couple ideas that he was tossing around, but I wanted to make sure that and one of the issues probably had more to do with his concern about possibly increasing overtime in some areas because some of the supervisory staff are having to fill in the group homes with that direct care. And, of course, we're all aware of the 30-hour week limitations that are posed there. So we're working through that, and so I felt very, very, very good that he's staying on top of things and just wants to have us continue to focus on staff, and he certainly understands that we understand that, and we're working diligent through this. And then Deb had reported to him that the contract agency that's going to be coming in and working with him has requested some information for their visit in June when they come in, and so he'll be in the process of preparing that information. So,
I'm excited about the consultant that the region selected and really, really appreciative, Wayne, if you wouldn't mind expressing our appreciation to the region for that contract and really helping us through the process. And it sounds to me like you and Ron are on exactly the right track. The reality is, with some of the staffing challenges that we're going to face, that we're facing now and that we're going to continue to face, overtime is going to go up. There should be money in the budget, even if it's not in the overtime line, there should be money in the budget to help offset that. So, thank you.
Anything from you, Rick?
No. Pass.
Public comment number two. Comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. And not see anybody move towards the mic. Announcements from the supervisor. Wayne?
Well, first let me just say the encouraging news coming out of Ames. Yesterday's newspaper highlighted the rapid improvement of Mayor Ann Campbell. I know many people have certainly kept her in thoughts and prayers and wishing for a speedy recovery. But that was extremely encouraging, and I know that all of us, whether we're in local government or just in the community, know the challenges that she is facing, and I just wanted to take this time to express our ongoing thoughts for her and her recovery. And then tomorrow I will be leaving for San Diego for the IMWCA, National League of Cities Risk Conference, that will be held there, and that should be the format should be quite helpful as far as what we do on the IMWCA, and we'll be having our strategic planning later in the summer, and I've already been a part of a conference call, Alisa, with the facilitator to get some background information regarding that. So, interesting enough, the weather is pretty much like Iowa. I was thinking we were going to see 85, 90 degrees, but I think we'll be lucky if it gets to 78.
It's a perfect 70,
though, maybe. It's a perfect 78, so I won't be wearing shorts, and I don't think. So other than that, that's about it.
Pass.
I'll pass also. That takes us to adjournment.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor?
Let's pick one of us. Wayne moved, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. Loris, you got a cold? You're huffling, snuffling.